Now, I know I don't look my age, but when I was 40, I had a letter. I was expecting a birthday card, but I did get a letter. And the letter was from the doctors. And the invitation was for me to have a health check. And the health check, which I went for, was a little bit like an MOT for your body. So, you know, you have to let them ask you all the difficult questions. And then they weigh you. And then they see how tall you are. They see how your waist. They do your BMI, body mass index. And then you leave the doctors with the statistics thinking, I don't think that's right. I am taller than that. I am lighter than that. And my waistline is not what they say. There must be a mistake. But as we know, one of the number one recommendations after any kind of health check is the recommendation that you will take your 5 a day. No problem. 5 bits of chocolate. Very easy. Very easy. But of course it is. Your vegetables and your apple and your bananas and your fruit and all the kind of things that you know you should eat, but it's not as much fun, is it? It's not as much fun. This morning, I want us to have a kind of a something in place that is a 5 a day. 5 questions to ask as we think about harvest, as we think about what it means to be thankful, but also not to be complacent. Very easy, isn't it, to be complacent? We can be complacent with that meal that we have, or those 3 meals that we have every day. We can see it as a right almost. We can see it as just something that we have without taking regard for it. But harvest is a great time to stop and think about all God's provision for us. Likewise, I want to make this morning a time when we stop and we think about 5 questions that I would suggest we should be thinking about every day. So let me have a look. Let me see if these are on here. So we're going to use 2 verses to help us think about these 5 questions. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. This is what it says. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. 5 things I want us to look at from this verse. And for the whole congregation this morning, our discovery group are taking notes because they'll talk about this next week. But hey, it doesn't do any of us harm to take notes, does it? And so hopefully these questions will help discovery follow clearly, but hopefully all of us will be able to follow clearly. And the first thing I'd like to ask us from our reading is, have you received Christ as Lord? Have you received Christ as Lord? Paul says this, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, verse 6. Paul wanted the church that he was writing to in Colossae to give them not a religion, not rules, but a person. Jesus Christ as Lord. The man who was God. We know, don't we, that Jesus lived a life that none of us can live. He lived a perfect life. He died a death that was he was very young. He was only 33. But he was the only one who could be the substitute for us and our wrongdoing, our sin as he died on the cross for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And we know that Jesus was far more than just an example and far more than words, as his actions showed that he was far more than just any old human being. He lived a perfect life, but he demonstrated that he was God by defeating the one enemy that no one else has been able to beat, death itself. As the Bible describes Jesus being resurrected. And so this is who Paul was passing on for those people in Colossae to receive. It wasn't a religion. It wasn't a set of rules. But it was a person. But not any old person. But notice, it wasn't just passing on Jesus. It was passing on Jesus as Lord. Jesus wasn't going to be an add-on. Jesus wasn't just going to be a part of their life. But he was being passed on as Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ as Lord. So the question that I ask myself every day, the question we should all ask ourselves, is have we received Christ as Lord? And sometimes we can look back to 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But it is a daily reminder. In the same way we take our fruit every day, we should ask the question and answer it truthfully, of taking Jesus Christ as Lord. So that's the first question. The second question is, are you rooted in him? We know much of these veg, they're often described as root vegetables. And roots are there as a source to feed plants and fruit and veg. And without good roots, a plant or vegetable will die. You need to have, when we're talking about vegetation, fruit and veg, you need to have good roots. See, there's often a temptation to have roots which aren't rooted in Christ. They seem perfectly fine. Often there's nothing wrong with them in themselves. But they're not the things that will make us the people that God has intended us to be. He wants, Paul, as he writes to these Christians, he wants them to know Jesus as Lord, but he wants them to be rooted in Jesus. The church there, as it says, the following verse from what Phil and Jane read to us. There are all kinds of deceptive ways and different things, philosophies, as it says, that they could have got sidetracked in, got distracted in. There was a part of the church that were really struck with the worship, for instance, of angels. They focused on the angels. They thought that Jesus wasn't enough, that there must be more we can add. But as we know, to add is to take away. Take away from Jesus. Notice, like I said, how it's being rooted in him. It's amazing to know that the Jesus who was offered to the church in Colossae was the Jesus that was offered to be and to live in them. Jesus, you see, is all the church at Colossae needed. Jesus is all the church that we need. He gives us life, life in all its fullness. He's working in us. He is making us, if we let him be working in us, he is working in us and through us. And he is working inside out. So if we receive Jesus as Lord, and are we rooted in Him and in Him alone? The third question, are you being built up? Are you being built up in Him? So if we are rooted in Him, you will naturally, like any roots, as they are part of the plant, as part of the veg or fruit, they will naturally grow. And it's a sign that Jesus is working in you and you're rooted in Him that you will grow. Paul changes his imagery here from a garden to a building site. A building site of good foundations, or roots as he calls here, into a building. Remember, the building up and the roots are in Him. So as we grow, we will take on a resemblance of Jesus Himself. We will start to act like Jesus. We will start to behave. We will start to think like Jesus. At Spectrum on Fridays at the moment, they're going through the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All descriptions of the character and the person of Jesus. And so as Jesus lives in you, you will show those qualities that will be a part of your character. And so, as a subsection, as a sub-questioning that we should ask ourselves, is are we growing more like the Lord Jesus? Are we being built up to be like Him? This fruit is a great yardstick. So am I loving, this is just for me, am I loving the people I find hard to get on with? It's easy to love people who find naturally easy to get on with and love, isn't it? Do I have more joy even if things aren't going well around me? Remember, joy for the Christian isn't dependent on our circumstances. Paul, as he wrote these words, was in some dire situations. And yet he could speak of a joy that was not part of his story because he had a wonderful so-called life on human terms, but a joy that was based on the Lord Jesus. So if we're following Jesus, you'll be more like Him as you spend time with Him. And so those are the first three questions. The fourth question is, are you stronger? Are you stronger? Paul says this, being strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So to be strong, we have to be good learners. We have to be taught. And we're taught as we listen to God's word. Also, as we exercise and we practice what we learn. We're taught as we listen to God's word. And as we're taught, we are understanding and knowing and working through what it is to be a follower of Jesus. As you look at the life of Jesus and those times when it seemed a hopeless situation, he drew on what he was taught. So the best example, isn't it, is when he was in the wilderness and he was tempted those three times. And as Satan tempted him, he didn't go away and said, let me get my friends for a minute, help me out. Let me take some time out to think through these things. What did he do? He responded with what he had been taught. He responded with the word of God. And so there is a direct challenge there for all of us, isn't there? It's in those tough times, are we able to respond of those things that we've been taught? in those battles. And as we go through those battles, as we go through those challenges, and as we exercise what we've been taught, we will grow stronger. And then the last of the five a day is, are you thankful? Are you thankful? It's easy to be thankful on harvest as we have those visual reminders of all the material, the things that the Lord provides for us, for the families that we have, for the time that the Lord has placed us at this time in history. Sometimes some of us would maybe consider and hope to have been born at an earlier time. You know, some of us may have thought that, you know, we'd have fitted quite well into the Victorian time. I don't know. There may have been another time that you would have liked to have lived in. But God has placed you at this place, at this time, for a reason. He's made you to be the person that you are, with the people that are surrounding you, with all that you see. We've talked about what we see in one of our hymns this morning, for a reason. He's given us the people and the places and this time in history for a reason. So are we thankful? But on this harvest morning, we can see where this is heading. Are we thankful for Jesus? Are we thankful for Jesus? That he was the one that came into our world. That he was the one that made himself a gift for the whole world. Then, but now. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful that Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself, the anger of God on himself as he died on the cross for you? At this time, yes, all that time ago, for you. And that we can say death has lost its sting. He is the one that we are thankful for. Listen to these words from a commentary. Here is a fine test for which by we may test the authentic quality of our spiritual growth. To be filled with gratitude is to be filled with the Spirit of Christ. The Christian rejoicing is this blessing of a thankful heart. He will have his eyes fixed upon the right person and the right place. Christ at God's right hand. He cannot be taken up with himself without being immediately reminded that everything he possesses is the gift of God. The only thing, this is important, this, the only thing which he can claim to be filled with, which comes from himself, and which he can offer to God, is gratitude. So are we giving our thankfulness and our gratitude this morning? That's all we can give. That's all that we can bring. So let's take this five a day today. Maybe take this five a day tomorrow. Write those words down and use it as a guide to think to yourself, how is my Christian discipleship? Have I received Jesus? Have I taken him on? Am I rooted in him? Am I being built up in him? Am I being thankful? Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much that you are a God who delights in giving. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who delights in giving all good things. And we thank you that ultimately we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he lived, he died, he rose again for me, for all of us. And we pray that we would receive Christ as Lord today. Amen.